Well, President Obama will hold a bipartisan summit tomorrow about health care. Both House and Senate leaders will be there. Earlier this hour, we spoke with two lawmakers from the House who also happen to be physicians, Jim McDermott, a Democrat from Washington State, and Michael Burgess, a Republican from Texas. And we wanted to bring this discussion back full circle from the lawmakers in Washington back to the public that they serve. We have three friends of the Takeaway with us. Rashonda Young, joined us last summer for one of our health care roundtable discussions. She's the operations manager of Alpha Express. That's a small business in Waterloo, Iowa. Steve Rose, Takeaway listener from Detroit. He called in to actually comment on the healthcare debate, and we liked what he had to say. And Dr. Peter Sinton, he commented on our website about the cost of healthcare. He's a pediatrician and co-owns a practice in Ponco, Oklahoma. Good morning to all three of you.
Good morning.
Steve, I wanted to start with you, and I wanted to play for you a comment that Congressman Burgess made. He serves the 26th District of Texas. He was talking about things that he would support in terms of insurance reform, and one way he thought was by sending it back to the states. Here's what he had to say.
We could start tomorrow on just essentially insurance reform to begin to get around the problem of pre-existing conditions. You do that by risk pools, you do that by reinsurance. 34 states already have programs set up. Perhaps we're not funding them appropriately. Maybe that is one direction we could go.
A restriction, I mean, keeping people from losing insurance or not being able to get insurance because of a pre-existing condition has broad public support. Do you support a not having pre-existing condition restrictions? Steve?
Do I support not having?
In other words, do you think people should be barred from insurance for having because of a pre-existing condition, or should we bar insurance companies from doing that?
No, I think that's a reasonable, requirement, especially going forward. If this plan is going to go forward, I don't think it's unreasonable. I think there has to be some protections for insurance providers, and we can't just unload every cost that they might incur without giving it some thoughtful consideration and review.
Okay, you just heard Michael Burgess saying that there's certain programs already in place in many states that address some insurance problems. Do you think that the states already have some of these answers?
Well, I think if 34 states, what's that, two-thirds of the country already have something in place, they must be onto something. And the people in Washington who think that the government knows best, that the federal government knows better than the states, maybe they should take a look at what the states are doing.
Okay, Rashonda Young, let me go to you. You're the operations manager of a small business, and you've had trouble being able to afford health care for your employees.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, when you initially turn in your applications and you get your initial quote, you get rates that are reasonable, then they look at the health of each person on the plan, and they start excluding, you know, pre-existing conditions, and they, you know, double what you were initially quoted. It's not reasonable or affordable for small businesses.
Can you give me an idea of what some of these premiums cost for your business, for an employee?
For example, for an individual plan, initial quotes, you know, coming back at $241, that's not bad. But once you get health questionnaires in, an individual will cost you over $400 a month. A family, which is initially quoted at $500 and some, is almost $1,000 a month. That's a lot of money for a small business to be able to afford.
Okay, both of the congressmen addressed this issue of rate hikes and the cost of premiums. Did you hear something that you liked?
In terms of the rate hikes, definitely I believe that having a federal overseer so that the rate hikes can only go up, you know, at a reasonable percentage is definitely a must. The insurance companies have not been fair. They've had plenty of time to prove, you know, whether or not they can do this on their own, and they haven't proven that they can.
Okay, now let's go to you, Peter Sinton. You're a pediatrician in rural Oklahoma. Both of the congressmen we spoke to were also doctors. You have 80% of your patients qualify for Medicaid. What about the other 20%?
The other 20% typically have some type of private insurance, and then a small percent are self-pay or cash pay. But because of the whole rate hikes and the change in the structure of how people are insured now, the people that are supposedly insured with private insurance actually have very high deductibles, and therefore are basically self-pay. And, you know, as the two congressmen know, if they were practicing physicians, that, you know, when you have self-pay patients, you rely on you know, you're kind of caught between being an altruistic physician and being a business person, which I don't like being a business person.
Okay. Did you hear something from the congressman? We heard from someone from Texas, Michael Burgess, and also the congressman from Washington State, a Democrat. Did you hear anything that gave you faith that they understand what's really at issue here and that we could get some bipartisan cooperation during the summit tomorrow?
I don't think there's going to be cooperation. I think some of the core issues of insurance reform and affecting, you know, how we get premiums down is really distasteful to the Republicans. I think they want the market system to correct us. They want competition. You know, I remember McCain talking about during the election, talking about let's get competition between states, and that's a fair thing to suggest. The other thing I think they've suggested is cooperatives, which costs an enormous amount of capital, and if you get, you know, just a group of people together, I mean, you know, they're not coming up with the kind of capital to support a non-for-profit cooperative of health coverage. So I think we're rather stuck with insurance companies because they have the basis, the capital to fund, you know, sick patients and well patients, like they said, patients with pre-existing conditions.
Okay, let me ask you, Dr. Peter Sinton, a pediatrician from Oklahoma, yes or no, have you written your congressman or senator about this?
Oh, yeah. I've emailed.
Rashonda Young in Iowa, have you written your congressman or senator?
I sure have.
Okay, Steve Rose from Detroit, are you still there?
Yes.
Have you written your congressman or senator about this?
Yes, I have.
Okay, three people who've all spoken to their congresspeople but don't seem to have a lot of faith that we're going to get cooperation or reform moving in Washington. That was Steve Rose, a listener from Detroit. Rashonda Young is the operations manager of a family-run business in Waterloo, Iowa. And Dr. Peter Sinton, pediatrician from Ponca City, Oklahoma. Thanks to all three of you.
You can catch up on all our health care coverage or anything else you missed by going to the site, thetakeaway.org. And while you're there, we have another bonus from our staff. A lot of news outlets have reported the 1,000th American casualty in Afghanistan, but it turns out that the actual total is both lower and harder to pin down. Producer Noel King looked at just how we get the number wrong and how we get to the number of 1,000. That's on thetakeaway.org and click on blog. And as always, we want your suggestions for who had a good week and a bad week with our friends at The Week magazine. The 8778-MY-TAKE or thetakeaway.org is the place to give us your suggestions. I'm Todd Zwilliken for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway. We'll be right back.